Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Asking how you're doing now. How's the castle built of people you pretend to care about? Just what you wanted. Look at you, cool guy, you got it. See the parties and the diamonds. Sometimes when I close my eyes, 6 months of torture, you sold some forbidden paradise. Loved you truly. You gotta laugh at the stupidity. Cause I've made some real big mistakes. You make the worst one. Bad news, I called him crazy. God, I hate the way I called him crazy too. How do you lie? What a mesmerizing, paralyzing, fucked up little thrill. Can't figure out just how you do it. And God knows I never will. And for me and not her. Cause girls your age know better. I've made some real big mistakes. Strange, you only come out at night. I used to think I would.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to be here with you guys tonight. Thank you so much to Amnex for putting this wonderful event on. So for those of you who don't know, this is my friend and collaborator, Dan. Everyone say hi, Dan. And we made this entire Guts album together over the course of a year. And we're so excited to play some of the songs for you tonight. We haven't played these songs for anyone, really, so it's very exciting. It's the first time these songs are going to be played live. So thank you so much for being here. It's very exciting.
And we get to tell you stories that will make Olivia very, very uncomfortable.
Very nervous, but it's okay. We've collected a lot of funny, interesting, weird tidbits along the way, so we're going to share them with you tonight. Hopefully Dan doesn't embarrass me too much.
I'll try not to.
But the song you just heard was Vampire. It was the first single off of Guts. I think choosing the first single off of Guts after Shower is definitely not an easy decision, would you say?
I would say it was definitely one of the hardest decisions we've had to make together.
Yeah.
Definitely lost a lot of hair because of that, I think.
Yeah, we've had many a conversation.
But I think but choosing the single was probably hard, but then once we chose the single, trying to finish the song made it that much harder, knowing that it was going to be the first song that you guys were going to hear.
I tortured Dan for so long, for months. I was like, no, it's too fast in this part, and it's too slow in this part. We need to change it by 1 BPM. And he was so annoyed with me. He probably have 20 versions of, like, different BPM, and, like, nobody even notices.
When people ask you, like, what do you do in the studio? Or, like, I would get home and, like, talk to my wife. She's like, how was the studio today? I'd be like, well, we had a philosophical conversation about tempos and speeds of songs for 12 hours. And then we both went home crying.
So yeah.
That was the day.
Yeah. You know, happens sometimes. But I'm happy that we got to where we got to on Vampire. It's one of my favorites. So this next song we actually wrote... So we finished Vampire and Electric Lady. I like played you the demo and then we finished it that day, I think.
Yes. And then
writing at least.
Yeah, we finished the song probably the first 2 days we were in Electric Lady in January. And I think finishing that song and actually feeling so excited about it made making another song that much harder, because it was probably the first or second time in the process where we were like, oh shit, like we're really pumped about this song. And so we then tried to write another song for like 2 days and we're just like getting nowhere. So finally we agreed to take a walk to like around Greenwich Village and took a walk to this bookstore where we were so desperate for inspiration that I must have bought like 8 books that day. And one of the books was like traveling around Italy. Like, and I was like, well, maybe
we'll write a song about Italy.
Maybe we'll write a song about traveling around Italy. That will inspire us. But then we picked up a book by an amazing band, Fleet Foxes. The singer, Robin Pecknold, had put out a book about his songwriting process for his albums. And I realized when I was reading the book, because I'm such a big fan, I was shocked that some of the songs were written, they started as poems. So I asked Olivia, well, I think I told Olivia that.
These are poems. I'm like, I got poems. We need poems.
And then I was reminded by Olivia that she went to college while we were in the middle of making the album.
Right.
She decided to go to school.
I was like, Dan, sorry, can't work Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to USC. I can't do it. Like, sorry. but I took a poetry class, and one of the poems I wrote for the assignment was this poem that I loved a lot called Lacey, and so Dan helped me make it into a song.
Not yet.
Lacey, oh Lacey, skin like puff pastry. Aren't you the sweetest thing on this side of hell? Dear angel Lacey, eyes wide as daisies. Did I ever tell you that I'm not doing well? Perfume that you wear, I linger all the time, watching hidden in plain sight. Ooh, I try, but it takes over my life. I see
The nerves are starting to wear off a little bit.
I know. Starting to shake a little less. Do you want to tell them about how I wouldn't play anyone anything when we first started making music?
Wait, say that again.
Yeah, how I didn't want to play anyone anything when we first started making music. I was very shy with it.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess it's interesting. When we were making Sour, I mean, when Olivia and I first met, I should say, she was like, she couldn't stop sending me ideas and was excited about any song she wrote, whether it was good or bad. She was like, I wrote a new song today. I wrote another song. And it was great. And we got to pick the songs, and it was great. But when we made Guts, I think obviously given all the pressure and the buildup of the success of Sour, things kind of changed, and Olivia became a little bit more precious. So
I was scared. It was very scary. It was scary making Guts. It was so terrifying.
Somehow we ended up, like, we just got into this really bad habit where we just didn't play anybody anything for the first 4 months that we made music. I mean, I didn't actually play my wife any of the songs until probably like 10 months into making the album, which was crazy when I think about it because we were so precious about it. But basically, it got so crazy that we weren't playing anything for anybody that we had set ourselves like a self-imposed deadline. That we were just like an arbitrary day, like I think it was like November 15th, and we were like, okay, we're going to finish 5 songs and we're going to play them for our friends and our families or anybody just to kind of like gauge the songs. And so we were working on this batch and it was like 2 days left and we were about to start on this one song that we were so excited about. And my wife woke up in the morning with COVID and my nanny.
Dan has a five-month-old daughter
at the time. Yeah. Our nanny didn't want to come into work, and so I had to call Olivia and be like, I can't work because I have no one to watch Saoirse.
And I was like, babysitting? Sign me up! So I babysat Saoirse that whole day while Dan was in the studio, and we put her in the little bouncer, the little baby Bjorn, and while we're making this song, it's kind of an upbeat song, she would like bounce to the beat of the song, so I think she was like approving it. She's like 6 months old at this time, she like definitely doesn't understand any of it. But yeah.
But she inspired the song to be finished.
She's our muse. Mm-hmm.
She is our muse, and it turned out to be... Oh, and then, I mean, I guess a little anecdote, I should say, was that at the end of the session, when we were done with the song, Olivia decided to start feeding... We had to feed Saoirse a bottle, and she, you know, it was her first time babysitting, so she didn't know that after feeding a bottle, you can't, like, be, like, throwing the baby up and down. And then Saoirse threw up all over Olivia's face and like, clothes. Yeah. And then I took Saoirse home, put her to bed, and then she sadly woke up the next morning with COVID.
So sad.
And it was really sad.
But the silver lining is that we got this song out of it.
We did get the song. And also, if you guys want, you guys can stand up for a second, because we are going to pretend to rock out for a minute.
Conversation on my website. Talked to this hot guy, swore I was his dad. Guess he was making out with boys the whole night. Everything I do is tragic. Every guy I like is gay. Morning after a panic. Oh God, what did I say? I broke the glass, that truth is fail. I told secrets I should tell. I stumbled over all the words. I made it weird, I made it worse. Each time I step outside, it's social suicide. Okay, we've reached the Q&A portion of our night. Thank you guys for writing questions.
All right. The very, very serious, these are the most serious questions I've ever heard in my life. I was told in the rehearsal I have to stand straight.
Okay, you're standing straight.
Standing very straight. This is a very straight. Olivia, what song on Guts are you most excited to sing on tour?
Yeah, I am the most excited to sing All American Bitch on tour. I'm very excited for that. I think that's gonna be so fun. I get so like angsty and like enraged when I hear that song.
You guys are gonna practice your screaming for the tour on the
Saturday? Yeah. Get those pipes ready, you guys. What are you excited to play on tour, Dan?
Me? I get to play on tour. Do I get invited on tour?
Yeah, come on tour.
Cool. Okay. Has a song ever made you cry while writing it?
Oh, my God.
I think this is a double question of, like, cried because you were emotional or cried because you were sad because you hated doing it.
Yeah, cried because I was frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've cried. I feel like you've cried because you were frustrated over some of these songs. We were really toiling making them. But, I mean, yeah, the sad ones. I remember bawling when I wrote Driver's License. I feel like I cried writing The Grudge. I feel like... I don't know.
You cry. Most sessions, you just cry.
I just cry. I'm a crier.
Yeah.
I do cry.
Most of the recording is just you crying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. That's what the album is. That's album three is just me crying.
Cry?
ASMR, crying.
You have to be, oh no, I was going to say cry.
Cries. No.
It's five letters. Doesn't work.
Cry. Maybe cry with a Z at the end.
Cries.
Yeah. Four letters. You heard it here first.
Okay. Jenna Berman asks.
Wait, is Jenna Berman in the house? Is she here? Somewhere?
No, she's not here.
Maybe she went to the bathroom.
She left. She just put in a question in the question box. And left.
She got a matcha and dip.
Matcha and dip?
Like yeah,
Netflix
she dipped.
And chill?
Yeah.
Matcha and dip?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get nervous before performing? And what do you do beforehand to... What do you do to help that nervousness?
Oh, yeah. We were so... I mean, us 20 minutes ago, we were really nervous. We were shaking. I'm a big believer in positive visualization. So I, like, imagine me coming off stage being like, that was the best show I ever played, and I sang so well. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have the hang of it quite yet. What about you?
I definitely don't. I'm surprised you asked me to come play with you.
Anytime.
Why do you prefer New York for writing? What do you have against Los Angeles?
Yeah, sure, shit. I mean, I love LA. LA is home. We wrote, I guess, 50-50, half in LA and half in New York, this album.
What's your favorite LA song? What's your favorite New York song?
Oh, that's a great question.
I guess you said, well, no, actually.
Maybe on Guts.
On Guts.
On Guts, my favorite LA song would be All American Bitch, and my favorite... Maybe my favorite New York song is Lacey. We put it into song in New York.
Yeah. All right, Team LA over here.
Yeah. Represent.
Okay. Oh, will you? My reading is so bad. I was like, when will you? No, will you do a Southeast Asia tour?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm going to a bunch of places on this tour that I didn't get to go to last time. So I'm very excited. But I'm also really excited to play LA. I hope I get to see some of you guys there.
Do you have any songs that you almost put on Guts? Was it hard to cut any songs?
Yeah, it was very hard. I mean, was it hard for you, Dan?
I mean, we fought over what songs to put on the record. There's so many more songs.
Yeah. We almost... there's some bonus tracks that are just on the vinyls. I don't know if any of you guys have vinyls. But we debated for a while. We were like, maybe we don't put The Grudge on the record and we put Obsessed on the record instead.
It was a tough debate.
It was a tough debate. I'm happy with where we landed, but that was an argument.
Yeah. Definitely an argument.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last question, which I think oddly perfectly leads us into the next song. Have you ever had an idea for a song in which you guys strongly disagreed with, and what was it?
I mean, I feel like we have a lot of disagreements. That's what makes it fun and interesting.
Yes.
Well, on The Grudge, Dan and I... really had a difference of opinion over the melody.
Well, we should say that it took us a long time to write this song.
Like, a long time.
Long time in the sense that, like, just getting the structure and the melodies took, like, a full day, mm-hmm. I'd say. Whereas, like, you had kind of the concept. Well, you want to talk about the concept.
Yeah, I mean, I was just driving to the studio, and I was trying to come up with ideas, and I was listening to The Smiths, and there's this lyric where he says... it takes courage to be kind. And I was like really upset at the time, and I was like, what if I don't want to have courage, and what if I don't want to be kind? And so when I got to a stoplight, I wrote in the notes app of my phone, it takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel very strong. And so I came into the studio, and I was like, I'm going to write this down on the notes app of my phone. Like, do you like this? And he's like, yeah, that's cool. And so we spent like hours crafting this.
We literally spent hours just trying to write that melody and chord progression. It takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel strong.
And me and Dan were like, should it be, it takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel strong, or it takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel strong. We had an argument about this for truly, like, what? Like an hour and a half, like something excessive.
And so, unlike most songs in which the chorus is the same, we couldn't agree, so that we literally just made them both different to satisfy the two of us. And then my, which is really sneaky, I apologize, but basically what I would do is that, like, every few weeks, because, you know, we wrote the song, like, way early in the process, is that if we went to go work on the song, I would just, like, change it to the version that I liked. And then, like,
I'd, hope,
like,
I wouldn't notice.
Hoping that she wouldn't notice at all. And then she'd be like, what?
Okay. Well, you guys can be the judge. Let us know which melody you like better. Here's the garage.
About that Friday in May, one phone call from you and my entire world was changed. Trust that you betrayed, confusion that still lingers. Took everything I loved and crushed it in between your fingers. And I doubt you ever think about the damage that you did, but I hold on to every detail like my life depends on it. My undying love, now I hold it like a grudge. And I hear your voice every time that I think I'm not enough. And I try to be tough, but I wanna scream. How could anybody do the things you did so easily? And I say I don't care, I say that I'm fine, but you know I can't let it go. I've tried for so long. It takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel strong. The arguments that I've won against you in my head, in the shower, in the car, and in the mirror before bed. Yeah, I'm so tough when I'm alone, and I'll make you feel so guilty. And I fantasize about a time you were a little fucking sorry. And I try to understand why you would do this all to me. You must be insecure, you must be so unhappy, not knowing my heart. Hurt people, and we both drew blood. But man, those cuts were never equal. And I try to be tough, but I wanna scream. How could anybody do the things you did so easily? And I say I don't care, I say that I'm fine, but you know I can't let it go. I've tried for so long. It takes strength to forgive, but I don't feel strong. Ooh, do you think I deserved it all? Ooh, your flowers filled with vitriol. You built me up to watch me fall. You have everything and you still want more. I try to be tough, try to be mean, but even after all this, you're still everything. No, you don't care. Guess that's fine. But you know I can't let it go. I've tried for so long. It takes strength to forgive, but not quite sure I'm there yet. It takes strength to forgive, but.
Sit over here, is that cool? Join you on this bench. So, ironically, the first song that we ever wrote that actually made it onto the album is the last track on the album. It's actually kind of funny though. We made it, and we wanted to make this tradition. Last time we made Sour, I'd Hope You're Okay, we ended it with like this Rhodes piano that was like the same. And we made this song. We were like, wait, this song is in the same key as Hope You're Okay, which is the last song on Sour. And so we ended it the same way in this kind of... And we did some like little talking. We made some like dumb jokes in the back and like put our voice
low. You also put Saoirse in the background?
Yeah, put his daughter in the back. She's so cute.
Which we didn't credit her for, which I'm very upset about.
Uh-oh. There's going to be some issues there. but yeah, I really love this song. I wrote it when I was 18, and I sort of thought it was just like weird and no one would relate to it. I played it for Dan, and he really loved it, and it's become one of my favorite songs on the record. It kind of perfectly encapsulates how I kind of felt about growing up at the time. And yeah, do you have anything to add?
Not, right?
Okay. No, okay.
Nothing.
So yeah, here it is.
When am I gonna stop being wise beyond my years and just start being wise? When am I gonna stop being a pretty young thing? Stop being great for my age and just start being good. When will it stop being cool to be quietly misunderstood? I'll blow out the candles, happy birthday to me. But your whole life ahead of you, you're only 19. But I fear that they already got all the best parts of me. I'm sorry that I couldn't always be your teenage dream. And as wide-eyed affection and all good intentions start to not be enough, when will everyone have every reason to call on my excuses of learning my lessons gonna start to feel sad? Will I spend all the rest of my years wishing I could go back? Well, I'll blow out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Couldn't always be your teenage dream.
May you say that it gets better.
So
I gotta get my own microphone. Sorry.
Okay. What if you could use one adjective to describe what making this record was? What would you say?
Joyful.
Oh yeah, always. All the time, you're grateful. All the time. No, I feel like we definitely had some tricky moments where we were like, how are we going to do this? What are we doing? Are we good at this? We coined a term for it. When we were in the studio and we were feeling really bad, we called it the dread. Like, we caught a case of the dread. And sometimes Dan would catch it, and sometimes I would catch it, whatever. And on this particular day in the studio, I was definitely full of the dread. And so we decided to go and visit Dan's baby. We also had a thing called Saoirse Break, because we coined that term, because we just love to see Saoirse, and she'd be very inspiring.
But yeah, we were in New York, so we went to the hotel we were staying at, where my parents, who are here tonight, I think they're over there, right? No, they're over there? All right. Well, who cares, really? Yeah. I'm joking. But they were babysitting. They were watching Saoirse. And we got to the hotel, and Olivia was kind of talking to my dad about, you know, this process, and, you know, writing songs is hard, blah, blah, blah. And my dad, obviously, he knows everything about everything, you know. And he was just like, well, you know, a lot of the best songs are written with two chords only. So we were like, okay, we're going to go back to the studio, and we're going to write a song with two chords.
Yeah.
And we can only do two chords. And we failed because we used three chords. We couldn't use two. We needed three. But we ended up writing something that we really liked.
Yeah. With three chords. Yeah. And we were so excited. I remember the day. I mean, we kept picking it up and putting it down, but this chorus was, like, really good. And I remember the day we were in New York and we, like, got this chorus. We're like, yeah, okay, we successfully got out of this funk. And we went to go celebrate and have dinner together at some, like, New York restaurant.
We went out to dinner, and so Olivia is like, hey, Dan, can you order me a glass of wine? And
I was 20 years old, by the way.
I think you were 19, actually.
I mean, uh-oh.
And I was like, I'm not ordering you a glass of wine. And I was like, you can order yourself a glass of wine. She's like, they're going to card me. And I was like, they're not going to card you. We're in New York City. It's like 11 o'clock at night. Like, I don't know. Like, if you're in this restaurant, like, she's like freaking out. She's like, just order me the drink. And I'm like, I'm not ordering you a drink. You could freaking order it yourself. And so the waiter comes over and she's like looking all nervous. She's like, and he's like, what'd you guys like? And I was like, I'll have a glass of the Sancerre. And she like quickly opens up the wine menu. And she's like, and I'll have this. And he looks at her and he's like, that's the table of contents. So anyway, he then carded her, and we got kicked out.
Yeah, and we got arrested. So it's a miracle we're even here tonight, really.
No, but he actually didn't care, and he gave her a drink. And,
we got a drink and this song in the same day. So here it is.
And also, guys, come on, you could stand up for this one. This is going to be fun.
I met a guy in the summer and I left him in the spring. Well, he argued with me about everything. He had an ego and a temper, a wandering eye. He said he's 6'2", but I'm like,
dude, nice try.
But he was so much fun and he had such weird friends. And he would take us out to parties. Night would never end, another song, another club, bar, another dance. And when he said something wrong,
he'd just fly me to France.
So I miss him some nights when I'm feeling depressed. So I remember every time he made a pass on my friend. Do I love him? Do I hate him? I guess it's up and down. If I had to choose, I would say it right now.
I wanna get him back. I wanna make him really jealous. Wanna make him feel bad. Oh, I wanna get him back. Then again, I really miss him and it makes me real sad. Oh, I want sweet revenge. I want him again. I want to get him back.
So I write him all these letters and then I throw them in the trash. I miss the way he kisses and the way he made me laugh. I pour my little heart out, but as I'm hitting send, well, I picture all the faces of my disappointed friends. Because everyone knew all of the shit that he'd do. He said I was the only girl, but that just wasn't the truth. And when I told him how he hurt me, he told me I was tripping. But I am my father's daughter, so like maybe I can fix him.
I wanna get him back. Then again, I really miss him and it makes me real sad. Oh.
wanna break his heart and be the one to stitch it up. I wanna kiss his face with an uppercut. I wanna meet his mom just to tell her her son stopped. So I wanna key his car, I wanna make him run, I wanna break his heart and stitch it right back up. I wanna kiss his face with an uppercut.
Tonight with all of you. This is so fun. We've never played these songs before for anyone. It's so special. So thank you so much. All right. Okay.
This is
really deep and philosophical, Dan. Chicken tenders or chicken nuggets? Oh, Cindy C?
Okay, so to be honest, my wife and I sometimes, we do a lot of fast food, which is probably not great, but we like it a lot. And so sometimes we'll go to like Popeyes and we'll get like the spicy chicken sandwich, the chicken tenders, and the chicken, and then the popcorn shrimp. Do it all.
Great.
So I think everything, it's all good.
Okay, I say tenders, but I have a reason for it. Like, I feel like tenders are just like healthier. Does that make any sense? Like,
totally,
I feel like that
totally
could occur naturally in nature. Like the nugget, like that's never gonna, like, it's never gonna look like that, like if you just like harvested it yourself. Do you know
keep
what I
telling
mean?
Yourself that.
Yeah. Okay, Camille Landau, is she in here somewhere? No,
they all left for matcha.
Maybe
Jesus.
She's shy. Okay, well, thanks Camille for the question anyway. Why did you make Vampire first single? What else was in the running? Yeah, what else was in the running?
Well, my favorite song, I was outvoted deeply on, I was literally like standing on an island by myself, being like, bad idea, right? And everyone was like, Vampire! And I mean, I get it actually, why Vampire worked better, but
I'm happy,
I was just really excited about Bad Idea, Right? And everybody kind of seeing a more like, sarcastic side of Olivia that I don't think was really apparent on.
Right,
and
it's a really fun one. I, in a strange turn of events, I really wanted to put out Teenage Dream on my 20th birthday. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was like, wow, it's going to be so meta, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be the first single off of the record, it's going to be awesome. Obviously, that didn't happen, but, you know.
Yeah.
In my heart, it came
out. A girl can dream.
Yeah, a girl can dream. Okay, let's see. Okay. Bob says, which album do you prefer and why? Guts or Sour? Wow.
There's no way to answer that.
No, like my two children.
The one thing I will say that Olivia has, she has a real like revisionist history of like the way she feels while making a record and after making a record. Because while we were making Guts, like the whole time, not the whole time, there was like moments of like feeling pure joy and having amazing moments, and then a lot of moments where she's like, I hate this, I hate you.
No! Not bad.
No,
never
she
you.
Never told me that she hated me. But I remember like, it was a labor of love, and at the end of it, I remember feeling really proud of it, and like 2 weeks later, she came in to do something else at the studio, and she was like, it's so crazy, I just like, I love this record so much, and I forgot how much trouble we had making it, and I just love all the songs so much, and it feels like it was so easy, and I was like...
I know. Even today, I feel like, just talking about it, I'm like, we just had so much fun. We just had Taco Bell every day, hanging out. We were toiling, though, in the real world. but I can't choose. Sour and Guts share equal space in my heart. Okay, Brady Mann. Oh, yay, finally someone! Hi, Brady.
A real person.
Real person. Thank God, these aren't just AI bots. I love this. Okay. Olivia, what was your favorite bridge to write and compose and why? That's a great question.
That's a great question.
I'm trying to think on Guts.
I think so this is interesting. I don't know if this is going to ruin talking about All American Bitch, but your original melody for the chorus of All American Bitch, we turned it into the bridge melody.
Yeah.
And
all the time,
And my favorite part of All American Bitch is the bridge, which isn't really a bridge, it's just an extension of the chorus, but it feels like the part where like it just gets me like going every time.
Yeah.
I'm not that great of a guitar player, but when I was trying to figure out what the guitar solo was, like I was like playing like right notes or songs in the actual key of the song, and Olivia was like, "No, it has to be wrong." And so it was like really fun. Like we're like figuring out the guitar solo, and like just playing as many wrong notes as I possibly could to make it feel the right way.
That's how you make music.
Yeah, that's how we make music today.
Gotta know the rules to break them, you know.
What is your favorite?
Mine is probably that, or I really like the bridge in Teenage Dream. Actually, I remember coming up with that in the shower. That they all say that it gets better the more you grow, but what if I don't? And every time I listen to it, I'm like so sad. hopefully they'll go away. Hopefully I'll age out of that. But
what's your favorite bridge on Sour?
Favorite bridge on Sour? Driver's License or Favorite Crime? Maybe. I don't know.
But keep in mind, you didn't like the bridge of Driver's License at first, right?
I thought it was too big. I'm like, tone it down. This is like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But I stand corrected on that one. Okay. All right. Last question. Jesse Terzian. Jesse? Oh no. Gosh. Maybe he's just shy. Wait. He's over here?
Up here.
Up here.
Up here. Oh, hi. Oh, I can't even see you. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for coming. The light is blinding me. Hi. Wait, wave.
Okay.
He's down here? Oh, I see him. Oh, hi. Hi. Hey, Jesse. Okay, Jesse asks. Jesse asks, how long did it take to write this album? Probably took us 10 months.
10 months.
Yeah.
Start to finish, 10 months.
Yeah. Ups and downs. We put songs down, pick them back up.
We actually probably only spent about 8 months. We finished the last song about 2 or 3 months before we finished production. However, I had this like idea to go like right when we were like just like 2 weeks before we were supposed to hand in the album. I was like, I was basically in the studio 12 hours a day trying to finish the production. And I was like, I think I have enough time next week. Hey, Olivia, should we go to like a studio for 2 more days and like try to write another song? And
I was like,
obviously we should. We went to the studio in Malibu and we ended up writing
We wrote a really bad song and Dan came back the next day and he was so depressed. He was like, well, I guess like the album's done. And I was like, gosh, like there's just one song. I wrote this song called Love is Embarrassing. Like, please listen to it. I really like this chorus. It's been stuck in my head. Like, and he's like, yeah, this is good. But like, Olivia, we have to turn the album in like 5 days. Like, I can't produce, mix, and master a song in 5 days. Like, it's impossible.
And you're like, no, I know you can do it. I'm like, well, you don't have to do anything. I have to do
it. And I was like, I believe in you. I was gaslighting you. I was like, I know you can do it. But you did.
I did.
Okay.
Sadly, I don't know, we're like teasing you guys because we're not playing that song.
Sorry. Next time. Come to the concert, okay? But this next song actually also was another last minute addition. I wrote this in my living room. I was always obsessed with this. The words, light as a feather, stiff as a board. My mom used to tell me stories about how she'd go to sleepovers in the 80s and like everyone would stand around one girl and she'd lay flat and they'd all just do one finger and they'd like, just like lift the girl up and I was like, whoa, like as a kid I was like, how is that possible? That's crazy. And so I really liked that and the song started out that way. And I thought it's just the perfect way to encapsulate all the impossible standards that we were supposed to fulfill as a girl and as a woman. So wrote that, and then I gave it to you. I wrote the song on piano, and I sent it to you.
And the thing about that song was, like, I think the whole time we were making Guts, like, we had these superstar, like, Get Him Back and Bad Idea Right and Ballad of a Homeschool Girl, these, like, super fun, up-tempo, like, songs that, like, showed, like, a different side of Olivia, and then we had all these, like, super serious, The Grudge and Teenage Dream, and I was always, like, oh, like, I was, like, confused as a producer, like how do I bridge this together? Like, it's, like, really, like, some of it feels, like, really separated. And then when she sent me that idea, I remember, like, being, like, holy shit, like, this is it. Like, you just wrote the opening song for this record. I was, like, so freaking pumped about it. But I was also scared because the song was so good to me that, like, I didn't want to screw it up. And then I was, like, also, like, doing that thing, I don't know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, what an analogy for another, like, line of work, but like I would be telling everyone, like, and we got this song, All American Bitch, and like, what can we hear it? Like, no, you can't hear it. Like, it's not done yet because it's not perfect. It's like not good. It's not right yet. And like, we toiled over the production. And what we decided to do, which was kind of cool, which we didn't do for the first record, because the first record I kind of played most of the instrumentation, like I'd say 85-90% of it, I just kind of played in the garage. And I was like, shit, like, we need to go into a studio with a band and like record this with like a live band. And so that was kind of like awesome experience that we got to do for this record, was to record a couple of songs live. And
yeah, and we also, I lost my voice screaming from this song also. We were like writing the bridge and I was like, I scream inside to deal with it. Like, what rhymes with that? Like, da da da. And we're just like, what if we just fucking scream? And so I was in the studio in his garage. Like, I'm sure all of your neighbors thought that I was getting murdered. Screaming bloody murder.
Literally for like, I have her like 50 minutes of just like screaming. Just like, no, harder, screaming more.
No voice
and
at
I'm
the
end. And I'm just layering screams on screams on screams. And I was like, all right, I think we have a choir of screams that we need for this song.
Yep. And we got it, so here it is. Hope you guys like it, All American Bitch.
I am light as a feather on as stiff as a board.
Get up, get up.
I pay attention to things that most people ignore. And I'm alright with movies that make jokes about senseless cruelty, that's for sure.
And this is it! I don't get angry when I'm dead.
For being here. We've had so much fun playing all these brand new songs for you. We have one more, and I thought it might be fun to kind of throw it back and maybe do a song from my last album. Is that okay? Is that okay with you guys? Okay. So, I wrote this song on my bedroom floor in Salt Lake City, and, When Driver's License came out.
What song was it?
Yeah, I know. I called Dan and I was like, yo, we gotta like make an album. Like, I was just gonna put out an EP before, and I'm like, this song is like doing really well. Like, we should just put out a bigger body of work. And so, what did you do, Dan?
Well, it was literally 4 days after Driver's License came out, and we were like losing our minds because we felt like the song was starting to go. And she was like, I was like, well, how are we going to work? You're in Salt Lake, and you're, like, filming a show. And she's like, well, you're coming out to Salt Lake, like, tomorrow. And I was like, okay, I am coming out to Salt Lake tomorrow. That's right. And so I packed up my my microphone, my acoustic guitar, my electric guitar, bass, and my laptop. And I got this weird Airbnb in Salt Lake City, like, on this main street. And it was, like, January. It was, like, freezing cold and, like, Olivia comes into the studio first day and like she plays me this idea for this song. And basically like it was so cold in the Airbnb that the room we were working on, we had to have the heat on like while we were working. And so it drives me crazy every time I hear this song, because when you hear Olivia's lead vocal, all I can hear is the heat, the like in the background. And the problem is that the take from the original demo that we did in that Airbnb is so emotional that every time that we tried to re-record it, which we tried like four times, like on like a better microphone, it wasn't as good. So like I was left with the fucking radiator going off the whole time, and I had to accept it. It drives me crazy. Olivia still to this day she says she can't hear it.
It doesn't bother me. I think it's ambiance, but
it bothers
okay.
me.
When you guys go home and listen to this song and see if you can hear it. This is called Traitor.
Now you bring her
Thank you guys so much for coming. This night meant so much to me. Thank you so much. Spending your Monday night with me. Thank you so much to these amazing singers and amazing Grin. And thank you so much to Amex for putting this wonderful event on. Couldn't have done it without you guys. I love you all so much. Thank you so much for all of the support. It means the whole world. Have a great night. Get home safe. Mwah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.